I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Open minds. We might just be in France, but this is global. It's football 2019, and this is its brand new face. Football Inside Out by Copper 90.
What's up? It's Monkey here.
And I'm Heath.
And this is Football Inside Out, a podcast from Copper 90. We're coming to you every day from the Copper 90 Clubhouse in Paris, bringing you all the excitement from the 2019 Women's World Cup in France. And please hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode.
And here's what we've got for you today. We speak with the first women's holder of the Ballon d'Or award, Norwegian and Lyon striker Ada Hegerberg. But first, here are the five things you need to know going into your day.
Football Inside Out by Copper 90.
Okay, five things that you need to know about going into your day. US on to semis, prove they can scrap out a game, winning 2-1 against a very good France side in the PSG Stadium. And we're here. Yeah. We're here right now. We're standing right outside the ground. We had problems with tickets at the beginning. They like double booked us. Well, when I say us, we sound really important, but we weren't. They've like...
They double sold tickets,
yeah. But they escorted us to stand K, and they got us in, and we actually got better seats, so that's great.
Yeah, which is also good because more people got to watch the U.S. win, you know? That's a good feeling. Which sees us at number two. Lindsey Horan, one of the best world's best midfielders, was benched, leading many to believe that if the U.S. win the tournament, it will be in spite of Jill Ellis, the coach, and not because of her. Though the other side of the argument is that she's 11 wins, one draw, zero losses, or something like that. Zero losses is the main thing to focus on there in World Cup play, and has like seven losses in 100 and something matches. So the argument is that she knows what she's doing, and sometimes sacrifices must be made for the good of the team. Number three, AC Milan have been banned from taking part in Euro competitions after breaching the financial fair play rules. So they'll be out for a year of any Euro competitions, which means they might have to sell Donnarumma. I think he had a deal where if they didn't play in Europe, they had to sell him for half the price.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
And number four, while the Brazil women lost in the round of 16 against France, the men are on to the Copa America semis after defeating 10-man Paraguay. And Argentina also won their game 2-0, which means Brazil play Argentina on Wednesday.
Tragic for someone. The hosts against Messi, who hasn't won that international trophy.
Probably tragic for Messi. We're going for the home team, Brazil, on this one. Number five, Italy, Netherlands, Germany, Sweden.
I'm going with Italy and Germany in those two games.
Agreed.
Good ones.
Copper 90. I'm back.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
It's so funny. I was watching you on social media, and then it was like a picture of you by a giant pool overlooking like people at a pool, like a party.
Yeah.
And then it was like you at the airport again, and I was like, did they not load in real time? Like, I thought maybe you were arriving, then you're at the pool, but you had literally gone in, got out.
Yeah, I was I landed, and then I got picked up from the airport, driven to the party. 20 minutes before my set, I got there, and then I played, had a little bite to eat, and I was straight back to the airport to see you guys.
You know what's funny is I've realized a word that Americans are very uncomfortable saying.
What's that?
Ibiza.
Yeah, well, we don't say it right. Most people just go, Ibiza. right?
We say Ibiza.
You say
Ibiza.
Like a z.
Ibiza. Yeah.
Like a pizza.
Yeah. We literally say it the way that we see it in the US, which is Ibiza.
Okay.
So when you hear like Ibiza,
yeah,
it's like Ibiza. it's like that one person that you knew that went backpacking back in the day and then came back and you're like, dude, shut up. Like Ibiza.
Yeah.
Were you at Barcelona also?
You know, Spain.
Paris. Like people that do that whole thing. I got into like some arguments when I was in our Copa's New York office with people for a while because people tend to hand pick and choose what words they really want to like pronounce. Mm. And there's obviously larger issues in the football space, which they say like there's all these like racial like accusations around people's willingness to try and say certain names in matches. Otherwise they'll just butcher them. But for other people, they'll go out of their way to say them or they'll learn them. But I've always argued like with people just about like pick and choose, like either just say it normal or say everything like super, super ethnically.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, we had to, or I asked Ada before we interviewed her, like I've heard people pronounce your name like three different ways, which way is correct. But she told us her full name in Norwegian and I just didn't stand.
But even the way she was saying it, right? We can say Ada, but it's Odda.
Yeah, it's Odda.
Yeah. Ada. Like it's just a complete different, like.
It's a different tone. In
yeah.
It. I'm never gonna
I mean, I get some of those. The whole thing was around actually Antoine Griezmann's name. Because his name technically it's Griezmann.
Okay.
But it's a German name.
Bro, if you
growing
if you
it's a German it's a German name originally, but he's French. So you say it with a French accent, but originally it would be Griezmann.
Yeah.
Like in German.
What do you say?
I say just Griezmann.
Griezmann.
Yeah, but in French it would be Griezmann.
Yeah.
But it's not actually even a French origin name. So it got really complicated that day that everybody got into a giant argument. And I was just like, why can't we just say Griezmann? Are you not saying Antoine Griezmann?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Otherwise you're going to start saying like Henri. I'm pretty sure a couple of my mates said Henry, to be honest. That's how bad it was.
Oh, I heard somebody recently just going like, man, that Ajax in Champions League is so good. Like that's an overheard, whatever, overheard World Cup or what was the thing we were going to call that? Yeah, overheard. Yeah. Somebody Ajax. Going like Ajax, that team Ajax is going to be good. I was like, no, that's like a multi cleaner is Ajax. That's like a surface cleaner. Ajax is a football club.
When you said Ajax, I just sat there and looked at you and I was like, I've got no idea what you're talking about. And then I'd be like, oh, Ajax.
We get a lot of Juventus in the US also.
Juventus?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Juventus is good.
I'm trying to think of any others.
Real Madrid.
Oh, Real.
Real Madrid.
Real Madrid.
So actually that triggers me on something. We had a camp, national team camp in Switzerland before we played a friendly against Switzerland. And we had some young guys in the camp. And we had this kid, goalkeeper named Chris Seitz. And first camp in, or one of his first camps, had to go in front of everybody, sing like the song, kind of like your whatever it's called, initiation.
Yeah.
And then answer questions from the crowd. They're like, all right, say your name and where you're from, who you play for. So he says, my name is Chris Seitz, and I play for Real, which is Real Salt Lake is a team in Salt Lake. And he goes, I play for Real. and one of the coaches in the back, actually the one who didn't take me to the Olympics, by the way, goes, who, Madrid? And like everybody started laughing because he like said Real as if there was like one Real. And it was like probably the sixth or seventh most important Real in the world. But he just said Real as if like Salt Lake had now taken over as the name of it. And just like we all understood it because we knew a club he played for because he's coming into camp. But like calling him out on that just made it so embarrassingly awkward for a few minutes in there where he just realized that like he just called his club Real.
I guess if he's from the States, it's not like a,
well, there's no other Real in the States, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So within the league, you would say like DC or Real or like, or now people will say like RSL for Real Salt Lake. But like, if you said Real, people would know what that meant if they knew you were a domestic player in the US.
I have a few mates on my team from the US, and sometimes when I hear them, what is it? Someone next door,
they're putting the fridge again on.
We had a big game last night. There were a lot of bottles of beer getting finished, and now I think they're just tidying up. But they, when they say pronunciations of places that we have to go for like away games, or whatever, I'm like, where are we going? Leicestershire. Leicester.
Leicestershire.
New Hampshire. New Hampshire.
Yeah.
But you have a New Hampshire, no?
Yeah, we have a New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to Southern New Hampshire University. New Hampshire. Yeah.
New Hampshire. Right, Leicestershire
right,
yeah, is my
near
favorite.
The Shire. It's a, near all the Shires. I had one coach, was the coach of the New York Red Bulls, and we got into a meeting once. And so Gonzalo Higuain's brother plays in for Columbus in the U.S.
Yeah.
And so he's he's an incredible player, not quite like Gonzalo Higuain's level. But he was like, all right, so today we're going to like make sure that we're matching up and we have to keep an eye on Higuain. And everybody was like looking at like the team chart going like, Higuain. We're like, oh, Higuain? Like, do you not watch football on TV? Like, everybody knows how to say this guy's name. Like, and he was like, Higuain. And like, he's a Staten Island guy. His name's Mike Pecky. And like, so he's just got that hard New York kind of like whatever accent anyway. But when he said Higuain, everybody was just like, no way does he not know. Because he obviously knew who his brother was, but like, no way does he not know how. Like, watch, if you watch one match where Higuain is playing, you know how to say his name. And he's like, Higuain. We're like, oh my gosh.
Is it just his accent?
No, I think he just butchered it. I think he just literally didn't know how to say it.
Maybe he put on a cold sweat beforehand before he said it, and then he just messed up.
Because like, Higuain is like a real far off.
That's far. That's
from
far.
Higuain.
Yeah.
Higuain.
We
Higuain's hard to say, but like
Higuain. I mean, it's hard to say, but Higuain.
Higuain's even harder to say. I've struggled to have my name pronounced correctly anywhere outside the U.S. Even in the U.K., they wouldn't say Heath; they'd say Eath.
Like, oh yeah, Eath.
Basically E A F.
All right, Eath.
But like, at least I know. But whereas, like, you know, everybody has like their coffee name. Like at Starbucks, you'll say your name. But like, anybody who has a complicated name gave that up a long time ago, and they just be like Mark.
Yeah.
And you know that like, you have to remember that like your drink is coming. Cause I always get Keith when I say Heath. And I just go, yeah, like every time. And then somebody usually like, if somebody in like my circle, like a few days later will realize that it wasn't Keith, and they'll come back and say sorry to him. Like, don't worry, I've been living this my whole life, you know? But like, it's tough for most people. Just most languages also don't use TH in a word. So you don't have the like that TH sound. So most languages will turn that into an S when somebody tries to pronounce it because they don't use TH together. So
I've had Lucky a few times instead of Lucy.
Nice.
Yeah, probably about probably
Lucky
about,
Lucy.
Well, probably about the fourth time when I got in an Uber and they said Lucky, I just went, yep.
Yeah. Take like, me yep, wherever it is you're taking me.
Hey, we've got some big games today. Italy, Netherlands, Germany versus Sweden.
Well, I found out today that we did an office pool for the New York office of everyone.
Yeah.
You put in imaginary money because we don't believe in gambling. And that gives you a team. You draw a name out of the hat. You get a team. And that team, whoever's team wins. It's like kind of a random draw where it's not really skill involved. You just hope to get one of the top teams. I thought I had Nigeria. Turns out I had Italy.
Oh.
So now I'm really riding for Italy.
How did you get that mixed up?
I don't know. For some reason, I just thought that when they first did the draw. By the way, if you're listening to this and you can hear people, we're about to have a screening here tonight of Kelly Nascimento De Luca, who's Pele's daughter. She's doing a screening, film screening upstairs. So building the vibes.
If you want to know more about that, she was on the podcast a few episodes ago and she talks about it a little bit. She's cool. Yeah, she's a really nice lady.
Yeah, the energy's going upwards in there. But yeah, I have Italy, so I'm totally riding for Italy in that one. And then Germany, Sweden. Wow. This is the first time I can remember in any tournament, men's, women's, youth, full, whatever, that Germany have not been one of the most talked about throughout.
Yeah, in the group stages they were only okay, but then they came through with a 3-0 win, I think it was. And now they're versus Sweden, who did they beat to get through again? Where's our little chart?
Canada.
Canada, yeah.
Yeah.
They weren't that convincing in that game, though.
Canada wasn't that convincing either, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Sweden was better, but
I got Germany.
You got Germany?
Yeah.
It's just so weird. Like, I've always given Germany so much respect, and they've eaten up so much of my attention, both on the men's and women's, because just across the board, they're always one of the best, even at the youth level, that it's been bizarre to just sort of bring them up on match day and not be talking about them all the time as to how good they are and what they're doing right, or maybe they're flopping. They're just quietly going about their business, which seems really German, but at least in the football sense, it's not.
Yeah. Well, maybe they're going to surprise us. Maybe. But like we said as well, it's good not to peak early. So maybe they're going to start peaking now. Who knows? I just seen that England men's are playing a friendly against Germany in September.
You're going to go?
At Wembley. Yeah, maybe.
You know who else has played at Wembley?
You.
That's right. That's right. Lost 2-0. You know, happily.
Did you play?
Were you on the bench? Yeah, I played. I played the full 90. And I had Bentley on my side. And,
Bentley?
Yeah, remember? Blimey. He was the next. He was just coming up, David Beckham. Yeah. But then David Beckham came in. David Beckham fouled me in that match. I put it in my highlight reel.
Oh, really?
I opened up my hips on him and beat him on the dribble, and he fouled me. And it's like, I show it like three times in a replay on my highlight reel. It was like, me, Beckham, beat him. Like, that basically makes me better than Beckham. If you're watching it, you know, you're like, oh, wow, he must be better than Beckham. Then he got past him.
Bentley, man, what happened to that guy?
Yeah. Beckham had an assist to what's his name? I'm blanking
now.
John Terry. Yeah. John Terry scored. But yeah, we lost 2-0. But what I really loved most about that game is England's one of the few national teams that embroiders the shirts on every match that says the match on it and the location. Where like the US doesn't do that unless it's like an official tournament. And that was like an incredible thing for me. I got Ashley Cole's jersey. And it's embroidered, which I like. It's one thing to have the name and the number because some countries don't even have names on them. Mm. Like you play Brazil, they don't put names on them unless it's, again, official tournament. But to have it embroidered just felt really personal for me.
I wonder why they don't do that. Is that you don't want to remember those games?
Well, I think it's I think Brazil might be, I'm not sure why Brazil doesn't do it. It might be a cost thing, but the embroidery thing is a big step to do before every match, right? Somebody has to take every one of those and embroider them. With you know,
a machine, I guess. By hand.
Hand stitch. Each of the players, if they want it embroidered, have to go in their room at night and embroider
hand
it themselves.
Stitch them. Yeah, hand stitch the game. Them.
Yeah. I can't believe Ashley Cole hand stitched my jersey. But yeah.
Hey, we're going to hear from Arda now, who came and joined us on the podcast the other day. And here she is.
Football Inside Out by Copper 90.
So, Arda, hello.
Hi, guys.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, especially now that I get to see all of you and the awesome camp you have here.
Wow. Yeah. What a compliment. No one just comes and gives us a compliment.
That's
you know?
The first time, I think.
Yeah.
You're like in a small wine cave, it looks like. Like you're under the ground.
Yeah,
like
we are below sea level for sure.
There is actually like a little cheeky bottle of wine hidden in the corner.
Yeah, I saw that one.
You see that?
Who's that bottle?
That's for game day.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's mine. I was eating spicy food yesterday and I was just drinking that like it was water. Bad idea because it catches up to you, but that's how we survive down here. It's just a little bit of wine. Yeah. So how long have you been in France for?
I've been a little bit back and forth. Been covering some matches after games, with a TV channel in France. And been watching some games and doing some small stuff here and there and been training, been working out now. I've been starting to prepare for a new season, which is cool. Starting to get back in mode again, which is motivating.
Do you find it hard to be doing TV stuff while having to work out? Where you know how, like, as a footballer, you sort of save all your energy for that time of day and then the rest of the time is down, like splitting your energy up between TV and getting your exercise?
It's a challenge. You have to be good at planning and disciplined. I think the summer is the only time where you have the time off to actually do interesting stuff and to build a side outside the football, which is motivating for the football part as well. I think it's really interesting to meet a lot of new people. It gives me a boost as well. And football brings you a lot of joy in life. But I plan my days well. I always do my workouts in the morning. I get up early, do my workouts, prepare for a new season, which is really important because it's important to be already fit when you meet for a preseason. That's always been my philosophy. So it's just a balance, and so far it's been good. Got my dad coming to France to have some sessions as well later, so got it all planned.
Your dad's going to work out with you? He's going to be involved?
Yeah. He's my personal coach, always been with me and my sister, and he's a special guy, and we always plan when we're off-season how we're going to be prepared for another great season, so he's essential.
Both your parents were football coaches?
They were. They always played, both of them. My mom used to play at the highest levels as well, striker. And my dad used to play on the second highest level, and he used to coach as well. So both been coaches.
Has there been anybody in this player or team in this World Cup that's surprised you, whether underperforming or overperforming? Like, we've been huge fans of Italy.
I was just going to say Italy. Yeah. I love what they've been performing. I think it's important for the sport, for the football. You have in Italy that is such a strong football nation, but been missing on the women's part, and they coming up with a great performance now. It hasn't only been the results, but they've also been performing well. I feel they're really aggressive and they believe in what they do. So I think they've been a fresh air for the whole tournament and exciting for the game as well.
Did you, Monkey, listen to the Ellie's Inside Score? So we had one of our guys who's like super into like niche news and inside football, and we did our team preview on the country of Norway and talked about the most famous people in Norway are from the TV show. What is it? Heimbane?
Or Heimebane? Yeah.
Is it really as big as he said it was the biggest? Like, it's massive there.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the biggest show, but it got a lot of attention when it went on air because it was it brought up a lot of themes that could be hard in football, you know, and in the world of football, it's not easy to be a woman in the world of football today either. So it created a lot of debate in Norway, which was really good, and it got really popular. So I think the show is really good, and a lot of people watched it.
And the show itself it's about a female coach?
It's about a female coach who took over a men's team in the highest division in Norway, and then you have all the sorts of problem that follows with that. I think it could be look a bit cliche in the end. I don't think it's as easy as that as it was in the end of that show, but it took up a lot of themes that are interesting to talk about today as well.
But it created a lot of discussion on the back end.
It did. It created a lot of positive debate as well. And funny that that kind of TV show can get that big as well.
Is it like a docuseries?
Not a docuseries. It's like, what do you call it? Like a normal TV show, but fiction.
Oh, okay.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, what an interesting, strange subject to do about.
Yeah.
Like, we had a really rubbish version of it on Sky, like, years ago, uh-huh. And it was, like, super cheesy, and it was, like...
Like,
it was
taking over Manchester United, and... Yeah. It could happen, though.
But, like, John Carew is an actor in it.
He is.
What?
Yeah, really? Like, he's one of the actors, I swear. Like, that's... It's like a big show because it attacked a lot of these different issues that... that they deal with, and apparently they tried to like temper down her role into a more like kind of appeasing role, and she fought it and said no, I want my character to be much more like intense.
Yeah, but she's really big in Norway. She's a great actor, and what's funny with John is that he went a totally other path after his career. He went photographing till being a model till acting, and now he's found his kind of his passion in life, and I think that's acting now.
What are you saying? Do you think we can get you on an episode of EastEnders sometime?
Don't think so. It's gonna be very hard.
I've actually never seen an episode of EastEnders, but I've heard the word EastEnders.
Have you
so
ever
many
heard
times.
Of EastEnders?
I think my husband talked about it sometimes. He's been playing in England, so he knows all about those shows.
Okay. I can see you as a landlady, like a pub owner landlady.
So how many times have you won the Champions League?
Four in a row. Is it too cocky to mention that?
No. Throw it in there.
Yeah, four in a row. I don't even know how to ask a question about four in a row. I don't even.
Me neither.
Yeah. Is it an addiction? Like, is winning you're still so young. Do you feel like it's almost an addiction that you have now, only really knowing winning?
Kind of an addiction, but also addiction of recreating success, which is a really important theme for me personally and for Lyon, the club I play for. You shouldn't get spoiled. You shouldn't get spoiled of winning, because we know how hard it is winning those trophies. So we know all the work behind it, and that's why it turns up to an addiction as well, because you want to get that feeling back and back. And, you know, that adrenaline, you can't just take that back. The adrenaline that we had together when we win those games and those finals are going to be moments forever, and you don't have that often in life, so you have to appreciate them and suck it in and then move on.
Yeah.
How long do you kind of like think about finals that you've won before you just move on about the season after?
Before I was horrible. Before I could spend maybe 1 week off on vacation, and then I'll be like, okay, right, let's go, next thing. But and my mom and my dad tried to calm me down, and they always like, take it easy, you still got time to prepare for another season. But I was kind of a wild child and just wanted to give it all and reach the next level every year. But I learned more experience now, and really enjoy and cherish the moments even more, because you know how hard it is and how special it is. So you have to find a balance between cherishing it and move on and work for the next thing.
So 2018 Women's Ballon d'Or winner, the first version of the Ballon d'Or. I think it's like 60-something years that men had the Ballon d'Or. How important is this as an award for just the future of the sport?
I mean, it's an individual trophy, but we all saw that the impact it has on the sport, because it kind of gave the women's football its spot on the highest level. I mean, it's such an historic award, and France football did a great thing, but just putting this award for women, because they show the path for the others as well. So when big organizations come on the pitch and they say, yeah, we want it like this, this is the modern way to do it, it changes attitudes, and it gives women's footballers the respect they deserve. And that's why it was so special to be in the center of a moment like that, because I was overwhelmed, because I was, that's kind of what I worked for my whole life, is being respected for the footballer I am, no matter if I'm a woman or a man. And I really felt that. And I felt I was there for the whole women's sport, which was, gave me goosebumps.
Are you going to go for four back to back?
Jesus, I can't remember how many people told me that. Yeah, you're going to go for the second one now? And I'm like, geez, let me enjoy the first one, guys. But it's not about Ballon d'Ors. It's always about, it sounds like cliche, but for me, it's the best sentence. It's to become the best version of yourself on the pitch, off the pitch. And for me, it's important to, just make the most out of it. Stay on the highest level as long as possible, and continue doing well with the team. You're playing a team for one reason, is playing for titles. But doesn't mean that I don't have personal ambitions, because they're sky high, obviously.
So when I was playing in Denmark, I got in a lot of trouble for an interview that I did because of the Jantelov.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because I made some comments, like I said I was going to play it. I think
but you're American, and coming to Scandinavia, sorry, but you're gonna get a punch in the face.
Yeah. I said someday I'm going to play at AC Milan, and then in the newspaper on the front page the next day was like, this guy. As a cultural thing, what does it mean?
I mean, it's quite simple. Janteloven is kind of a list of rules where you're not supposed to be better than anyone else. You should never think that you can become someone, that you can achieve something, and you should always be one of the others. So it's kind of like a depressive list, I would say. I think it's a really strong part of the culture still. I think if you really want to take the next step, everyone should take a step out of their country sometimes to discover the world and have a new perspective. But as I said, being an American, and that's why I love the American mentality as well, because it's like, rock on, no excuses, and an offensively mentality. That's, I think we can learn a lot of each other, yeah.
Yeah, I just thought at the time it seemed like such a nice thing to say, like, oh, I'm ambitious. You know, somebody asked me the question, I want to say aspirationally who I want to be or what I want to do in a confident way, that like someday I'm going to do this. And people were like,
I think you got slaughtered. Yeah.
He like, told me about down. This yeah. and all the titles that came out in the newspaper. And yeah. Like, you're a young
guy.
Dude.
Yeah.
Come on.
I've learned since.
No, he hasn't. He's not.
Answered. I don't think so.
Yeah, but
don't change the person, change the game. Huh?
Yeah, that's it. And in the game, you have 193 goals and 165 appearances. What's that feel like? Do they all mean the same when you score? Do you have the same exact adrenaline rush every time?
Yes, yes, yes.
Heath doesn't know what to do when he scores a goal.
Oh, no, but I don't either.
No?
See,
no.
It's just like adrenaline, and I've never prepared any celebrations.
Oh, you should. You've had enough. I have an excuse that I would average like two a year, and then my arms would just start flailing, and I would just run to whoever was closest, and I'd jump on them, and I'd be like, okay, I'm done. That's it. No more. But you have scored plenty to have at least some sort of routine.
Yeah, but I mean, I like celebrating with the team.
Yeah.
I like that. It's like just a natural habit. But
I've seen those videos, by the way. Very Barcelona-like. Everybody just hugging each
come
other.
Here, come
just,
here, come here. Yeah. Like
moment for a hug.
But I was sliding on my knee sometimes. But I got a message from back home that I was supposed. I was gonna stop that right away because obviously injuries may arrive, but you can't stop the adrenaline. You know?
Was that a message from your dad?
That was a bit message from my husband. Oh. It was an inspiration from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer because when he scored the winner of the Champions League final in 99, was it? Mm-hmm. He actually had a knee problem after that.
Really?
I don't know if it's a myth, but I think
I have seen goal celebrations where people have like torn their ACL and done types of things. Yeah, I've seen videos of them where it's like the people who do flips or do certain things or when they pile on people, like injuries from like 10 people jumping. I mean, you can get injured with 10 people climbing on top.
Just do the Sam Kerr then, like a backflip. That's maybe the coolest celebration I've seen in the women's game so far. So
any backflips? Not
no, not there really. Yet. Not there yet.
If there was a trampoline, I would try it. If I could see it, find a trampoline on the side of the pitch, and then
one of your two goals a season, just backflip straight away.
Land simply. Yeah, I think that's all we have time for. But thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure, and nice little cave you have, a wine cave.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Feel free to drop some wine off for the cellar that we're having our wine in.
Anytime, come down. Copper 90.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All Inside Out.
So she was really cool.
Yeah, you know what I found unique about her is that she is so incredibly confident, but she thinks on like such a higher level than most confident people. Like in terms of the way she analyzes the world, is so much more sort of like at ease and well, almost well-read, like well-educated than like most confident people that are confident. You can hear it and they say it and they stick to it and it's bold. But hers comes from like a very philosophical point of view of just like raw confidence, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, she seems like she's really interested in what you're saying as well. When we're having a conversation with her, she'll like ask questions. Like, well, obviously we spoke to her afterwards and before, and she was just like super chill and really approachable. And when I put up a picture of her on my Instagram story, like a bunch of my mates were like, "Oh my god, I'd be so starstruck." And I was like, she honestly was the most nicest, normal person. I mean, the majority of people that I meet are anyway, but like, you know, she's won the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, when I had said to her like, "Oh, I played with." I kept saying her husband's name. I was saying his name over and over, and she kept going, "Who? Who?" And then I said his whole name, that not his nickname. She goes, "Wait, what's your name?" And I was like, "Heath Pierce." And she was like, "Oh, man." And then like all of a sudden, I expect her to be like, "Oh, cool." Like some people are just like, "Oh, cool." Like, two thumbs up. Two thumbs up. We know the same people. But she was just like really, really like very just normal about it. This is the best player in the world.
Like, no, she literally was like, "You're Heath Pierce," and we're like, "You're Ada Hulleberg."
Yeah, like it's just she still seems like she's in a phase where obviously she knows how good she is, but she's just a human. She's just really, really down to earth. And I'm sure like she has other times and places where you can see another side of her when things aren't maybe on the pitch or whatever, when she's being competitive, but she just like she could have been just anybody, even though it was her first time in here, just hanging out and just sort of like chilling. It didn't feel like, we didn't feel stressed, you know, to like entertain her, or like keep things going.
Do you know who else who won a Ballon d'Or? Apart from Messi and Ronaldo. You, in my dream.
Really?
Yeah. But you won it not for football, for the podcast.
That's amazing. Yeah. So after 63 years of men winning the football Ballon d'Or, women won their first one with Ada, and then a year after that, mm-hmm. I won the first podcast Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, yeah. It's incredible. You picked it up on behalf of us. I think I was at a gig in my dream, and I was like on the video, like, hey guys. Yeah. And you were like stood there with the Ballon d'Or and like, I think Lucy, you're in the crowd. We were all there having a great time.
I feel like it would be like you won it, but you couldn't go. So I was like, yeah, on behalf of Monkey, who couldn't be here tonight because she's playing in Ibiza. And people would be like, where's that? Because obviously they would do this in the
Ibiza.
US. Yeah, Ibiza, like the song. Yeah. Well,
so yeah. Maybe we should get one made and stick it on the table, podcast table.
I didn't prepare a speech, but... so many people to thank. So, that's cool though. I'm glad I won that. You know, it means a lot.
It means a lot for us. So the other day when the England game was here, there was an overheard thing that was said. So a lovely group of ladies who play for a football team from Skipton, which is a town in England, were sitting on the front row with a massive England flag with Skipton Ladies FC on it. And one of them shouted just before the match, come on, Neville, you sauce pot.
I mean, I heard that. I actually heard that yelling because...
Do you understand?
No. Lucy, our producer, was sitting in front of... one row in front of them.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what it meant, but people started laughing, so I knew that it meant something.
Funny.
What does it mean?
Sauce pot is like... Yeah, it's like you sexy beast.
Slow it down and say it again.
You sexy beast.
No, not the sexy beast part. No. I'm not asking you to whisper to me sexy beast. I'm asking you to whisper the words. Like, jeez Louise.
I thought you just didn't understand my accent.
It just got 10 degrees warmer in here. Is it the fan blowing in my hair?
How are your leggings feeling right now?
No, the British slang of that. What is it?
Oh, your sauce pot.
So it's two words,
yeah,
sauce
two,
pot.
Two words. So you sauce pot.
Like sauce.
Oh, yeah, like sauce, yeah.
And but, like a pot of sauce.
Yeah, like a pot of sauce.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Saucy. Ooh, a bit saucy.
That's amazing that she just yelled that out, though.
Oh, amazing, yeah.
And now I can see why people were laughing. I laughed because that's what you do when you don't know, but everyone's doing it. You have to be part of it. Otherwise, you know, you get really uncomfortable and they go, like, that person's weird. He didn't laugh at my joke.
I would like you to use that phrase now in the next week or so.
I'm trying to think of an appropriate time. Like, if somebody, like, is, like, I don't think it would be appropriate when, like, somebody's speaking in front of a group and I yell, oh, sauce pot.
Yeah, preferably like at some stage where we won't have to call like HR.
Yeah, it's got to be something like maybe it'll be like a dog walking by and I'm like, there's a beautiful sauce pot.
No, I still have to call the police.
No, is that so?
That's
is it
too much?
So it's sexual then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Definitely. No
call. Well, I'm working through this right now. You know, like I'm just trying to figure out what the right way to use it. You know, because you're saying sauce pot.
Maybe your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be a bit more.
Yeah.
Acceptable.
Phil Neville. Those are the only two that I know that I've gotten the green light for.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything else is off limits.
Thank goodness I worked through that. Woo. Right now. That could have been bad when that dog walks by later.
Maybe just give me a shout before you try it. Like let me know when it's like, gonna happen.
Hey, someone's within about 200 meters of me and they're heading my direction. Would it be appropriate to use this now? And we can work through it by the time they pass.
Yeah.
And then be like, yeah.
We'll do that and hopefully no one will go to jail. And if you hear anything ridiculous, if you're out here watching the World Cup or at a fan zone or even just watching the game at home or in the office, let us know what it is because we'd like to hear it. It's footballinsideout@copa90.com on the email, or you can tweet us as well and hashtag copa90insideout while you're at it. So that's it. That's another podcast done. We'll be back tomorrow as per usual. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you listen to your podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you've enjoyed it, leave us a review.
Yes, and subscribe to the newsletter. Head to copa90.com/WC19 and click or tap on Copa 90 France Daily to sign up and get in touch with us because we'd love to hear from you. Send those overheard thoughts, anything random and crazy you've heard, whether in a stadium or with your friends or crazy stuff that people say, to footballinsideout@copa90.com, and we will share them on the show. We will see you all tomorrow.
Bye.
This is a We Are Great production for Copa 90.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.